Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for today, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. They all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded. This is God's word. I've always been fascinated by the weather. When I was a little kid, it was sort of a terrified fascination. Maybe you kind of remember the days before you could go, even before we even had cable through much of the area, and we had a weather channel that could give us up to the second minute weather updates. But having only like 3, 6, and 13, and you're on those UP and Green Bay channels, and all of a sudden that beeping comes across, tornado watch, or even worse, tornado warning. And you have to take shelter because you don't know what's coming. Well, today, it's so much easier and even kind of fun to follow the weather. I have no less than 5 apps on my phone that allow me to check the forecast up to 15 days out. I can look at a high definition radar and see exactly what's happening. And of course, I am always much better at telling you where that storm system is going than, say, Carl Bonack on TV6 News. I know much more, obviously. Aren't we all better weathermen than the ones who do it professionally? I can watch video of weather events happening across the globe. Well, that all kind of took on a new life of its own when we moved into Puerto Rico. When I was a kid, if you had told me I would move to a place where hurricanes were a possibility, I would have said, "Fat chance." But sure enough, there we were, hearing forecasted news of hurricanes heading toward us. And right before we left the island, we had a span of about 2 hours where the storm was upgraded from a category 3 to a 4. On a scale of 5, it was really bad. The governor declared a state of emergency, and we were told we were being evacuated. It happened like that. Now, just 10 days before that, Hurricane Irma passed just north of us. The eye passed about 60 miles to the north of us. And at one point, Hurricane Irma was measured as the strongest storm in Atlantic history. There had never been a storm stronger, and here it was, bearing down toward this little island. And so we watched. We watched the sky. We watched the news. We watched the radar to see what would happen. In short, we learned to depend on what other people were telling us about the storm. And you know how this works? The Weather Channel and the U.S. Meteorological Society, they actually have storm chasers, they call them. People would fly planes, they'd take off actually from Puerto Rico, and they would fly out into the eye of the storm to gather data and to send it back so the forecasters could prepare us for what was coming. Storm chasers chase after that which is dangerous and deadly. A lot of them do it professionally. Some of them do it as a hobby. We might regard that as insanity, lunacy. But they probably regard it as terribly exciting, sort of like those storms I experienced as a child. You might not be a storm chaser yourself, but the fact that there are people who will purposefully go into places that they know to be dangerous says something about the human condition. You might think that storm chaser who flies his plane into the middle of the 150 mile per hour winds is insane. And yet, aren't we a people who are always going after what we know is dangerous ourselves, even that which is deadly? Our inner nature seeks after those things that we know are no good for us. St. Paul said it so well in Romans chapter 7. He describes this constant pressure to do the things that he already knows that God forbids. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. There's a bit of a storm chaser in each and every one of us. A sinful nature that keeps going after those things that we know are bad, are dangerous, are deadly, are not beneficial to our lives as God's people. Because, you know, there's not a single person who wakes up in the morning, I don't think a single one of you even do it as well, who wakes up and says, you know what, today I think I'm going to break God's commandments. I think I'm going to do the things he said don't do. I'm going to try to not do all of them. I'm going to try to break every single one. We know what God has laid out before us. We know what is safe, what is fruitful, what is beneficial, but we chase after what is deadly anyway. There's never a married man who wakes up and says, you know what? I think today I'm going to go find a woman to have an affair with. Never happens like that. He knows adultery's forbidden. He knows his wife forbids it. Instead, he's lured into this storm of sin, and it starts in the heart. He strikes up an extra friendly conversation with someone he knows he has no business sharing a bed with, let alone spending time with. And as he follows after those storm clouds, he ends up being taken in. He finds himself in the arms of a woman who's not his wife. Now, we talk about sin a lot in the church, and with good reason. And it's for this very reason, that sin is so much more than just a series of bad choices, but rather a constant storm of swirling clouds that pulls us and draws us closer and closer to death. We talked about sin several weeks ago when we heard the account of God walking in the Garden of Eden. And what did Adam and Eve do? They hid from him. There was a brokenness between there. They didn't set out to say, I'm going to ignore God today. They couldn't stand his presence because of the brokenness that existed. Sin is alluring, and it pulls us toward it. I remember when we were on vicarage in Kakana 14 years ago. It was around the end of June, and we had a tornado touch down a block from our house. And you know what? I saw it because, like an idiot, I was outside looking for it on the patio. I looked up and I saw the clouds swirling. And I saw the funnel cloud dipping down just down the street from our house. And it was at that point I yelled to my family, go! Get out of here! Get in the basement! Hide! And we sheltered ourselves against that. The church's job is to sound the tornado siren, to sound the warning, to draw the people's attention to the dangers of sin and its consuming power. The church is to awaken people from their peaceful sleep, to alarm them, to point them to the storm that threatens to devour them in body and soul. When Jesus stepped into a boat in the middle of the sea, he revealed himself as the one with the power over the storms of nature. And at his command, the raging storms that threatened to destroy the disciples, they dissipated. They went away. Mark writes, he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded. The storms bowed at his authority. That image of Jesus calming the storm on the sea is meant to show us that Jesus also has power over the storms of sin. And that he doesn't just chase after storms to follow them, but that he steps right into the middle of them and takes them upon himself so that the storms would be chased away. When you and I go chasing after the storms of sin, we inevitably realize that the storm is bigger than we are, that we can't stand up against it. But Jesus Christ is bigger than that storm of sin. He overcomes sin. He gives his body into death on the cross and says, "It is finished. Sin is finished. The storm clouds are chased away." After Jesus crossed that sea with his disciples, after he showed his power over wind and wave, his power over the storms of nature, he showed his power over sin and death. He met the crowds of the sick and weary people in need of healing. He allowed them to touch the fringe of his cloak and be healed. Mark writes, wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Just as rainstorms and windstorms have the possibility for all sorts of damage, destroying roofs and blowing out windows and knocking down trees and power lines, causing the power to go out, floodwaters rising, so the storm of sin can manifest itself in so many different ways. A sick person lying in a hospital bed, a family broken up by fighting and division, a person struggling with temptation or lust or alcohol or drugs or something else. And that storm of sin blows in your life in some way or another. What might be your temptation is not another person's temptation. What might be your affliction is not what another person is going through. But you alone know what they are. And it's that storm of sin that blows and howls and swirls and tries to swallow you up alive. Jesus comes to chase them away. Because Jesus is more powerful than your temptation. He's more powerful than the threat of division in your family. He's more powerful than cancer or disease. And the storms will never devour you who are kept secure in Jesus Christ. God made a similar promise when the floodwaters left the earth in our Old Testament reading and Noah and his family were kept safe. He placed a rainbow in the sky as the reminder that a promise had been made. That God will never again destroy the earth through the storm and through flood. You and I still see the rainbow in the sky after the rain, and we remember God's promise as well. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Even beyond that, the rainbow should cause you to remember something else. That God always keeps his promises. And that the greatest promise he has made is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers your sin, that chases away the storm. As Jesus chased away the storms on the sea that day, and they safely moored their boat in Gennesaret, so too you, when you are in Jesus Christ, are safely moored, safely docked, when the storms of sin are blowing at their worst. Today, Jesus gives you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And with this body and blood, he covers your sin. He chases away the storms of sin that threaten to overtake you. He gives you this body and blood so that you can be safely moored in the harbor of his grace, so you can be docked in the midst of the storm winds. He is the anchor that holds you fast. He invites you to come like those masses in Gennesaret, to touch him, to receive healing and strength in the middle of your infirmity and weakness. Through that simple touch of his garments, the sick people in that place received healing. It might seem insignificant to just touch the fringe of Jesus' garment, but through that very simple act, Jesus healed the sick. It might seem utterly insignificant to come kneel before this altar and eat bread and drink wine. But through that simple eating and drinking, Jesus gives the promise that his body and his blood are there for you to receive. And through that simple eating and drinking, Jesus heals you from the disease of sin. He chases away the storm clouds that swirl around your heart. Though that storm of sin is real, it's not something for you to fear. The Word of God moors you, anchors you in the midst of the storm. That law of God, that law which points out sin and shows you your sinful condition, it forecasts the danger of the storm. It sounds the alarm, the warning siren. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ gives you the promise that your sin is taken away, that the storm is chased away. As long as you are in Jesus Christ, you don't need to fear the storms. You have a Savior who is powerful over all the storms of this world. You have a Savior who chases the storms away by means of his blood that he sheds for you. In speaking of this reading, the great church father of the 4th century, St. Augustine, said that when Jesus stepped upon the wood of the boat and calmed the sea, he foreshadowed how he would take on the wood of the cross and calm us who are troubled by sin. That's how we're assured of safety in our storm of sin. We have one who chases them away by means of his suffering and death. And as the Lord of wind and wave said that day to his disciples, so he now says to you, dear friends in Christ, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.